The first four have to do with the spirit. The second four have to do with the soul. And the third four have to do with the body. So four, four, and four. Four times three is 12. 12 positions or 12 parts, 12 steps. They're in order. The pitcher throws the ball to the batter who hits it. There you have the first four, God, gospel, repentance, and faith. The second four, and we're going to come to the last one of that group, has to do with sanctification, not justification. Sanctification refers to meditation on the first four, and then happiness because of what I meditated on, and then worship because I'm happy, and then inner character because God dwells in the praises of his people, and that alters me, that changes me. So I meditate until I'm happy. I'm happy until worship pours forth out of me. And I worship until inner character is developed. Now, inner character is not seen, nor is the worship, nor is the happiness, nor is the meditation, nor is justification, God, gospel, repentance, and faith. None of those are seen. The only thing that will be seen is the last four. So the world is not watching or even interested in first base hits. They're not interested in the pitcher. They're not interested in the batter. They're only interested if the guy gets on base and then starts running around and gets close to home. If he gets out at third, they're not interested. But they get excited when they see you crossing second. That's when the excitement, that's when the people begin to really shout. They don't really shout so big on a first base, but they're a little bit excited if nobody's gotten on. At least they didn't get an out. Christian meditation, number one, on God, the gospel, repentance, and faith produces happiness. That's first base, which in turn produces true worship in spirit and in truth, which in turn produces inner holiness or character. What the church needs today is moral and spiritual character. Moral and spiritual character. Number two, Christian character is not some work of natural man. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Natural man, gift of the Holy Spirit. Three, character is nothing other than the manifestation of Jesus Christ, who is working his own inner holiness and character in us by the action and effectual working of the Holy Spirit. Faith active, working by love, or active in love. So that's how you know someone's a Christian, because their faith is becoming active in love. But it starts inside before it goes outside. First in the heart, then in the soul, then in the body. So that's the righteousness of God, not imputed to us, but actually, really, truly, honestly changing us from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another. So as you go through the bases and run between the bases, then you see the glory of God being worked out. From glory to glory, he's changing me, changing me, changing me, keeps changing me, and I get more and more like Jesus. But I have to get around the base, and you have to start with God, and then the gospel, and then repentance, and then faith, and then meditation, and then happiness, and then worship, and then second base, inner character. So that's where we are now, looking at the inner character that you are not working. It's a gift of God. He's working it in you. The same one that started the ball is the same one that's working it in you. It is no longer I. Oh, sorry, I skipped four. Our Christian character is actually the character of Jesus. Our Christian character is actually none other than the character of Jesus, which is being produced in us because of our meditations, happiness, and worship in his presence. So that's where your character comes from. You don't have character because you're legalistic. You don't have character because you want it. Now, the character that you're, I won't say producing, but that's being produced in you, is inside, so you don't actually see it. But you know it's going on because Jesus is making you like himself. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Goodness, self-control. Those nine fruits of the Spirit are really the nine aspects of human character. Your religious and moral character. Now, it hasn't come out yet. It's still working on the inside, but that's a big change because now I want to be like Jesus. That doesn't mean I am. I just want to be. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good son. I want to be a good daughter. I want to be a good friend. I want to be. So want to be is actually something you don't do. You don't ever want to be. The Holy Spirit, when he has come, he is in you to will, want to be, and to do. That's the last four. So the doing isn't you, and the wanting isn't you. So you don't have to want to, and you don't have to be able to. That's wonderful. That's good news. That I don't have to want to. So if somebody says, well, do you want to go to church? Doesn't matter. The question is, has Jesus worked that in me? All I got to do is check with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, am I one of yours? Yep. Do I want to go to church? Yeah. Oh, okay. I do. I want to go. I don't ever want to miss. You know, I seldom miss church. I don't know that I've ever missed. I don't know. Was I ever sick? Maybe I was sick one time or something. Vacation, yeah. But I had to probably go somewhere else and do it. But I want to do it. I don't have to do it. I want to. But wanting to is not the same as doing it. Maybe I wanted to and I get in an accident. I wanted to, but I just didn't do it. Or maybe I changed my mind on the way. I wanted to, but I saw a book fair on the way and stopped off to get some good books. Theological books that you'd be interested in. That sign drew me. I thought, okay, Dave will take over. I'm just going to stop here for a few minutes. That would be a big temptation for me. A quarter of the price. Man, Sunday morning special. I would stop. Boxes full of them, you know, for 50 cents. I would stop. Libraries of many great ministers. Yeah, I'd stop. Okay. It's no longer, five. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. It's no longer I who live. So God's whole purpose is you not to live. If you don't live, then you're dead. So that's his whole idea, is to get you killed. He can't ask your permission on that because you would want to live. You have self-preservation inside of you. You couldn't possibly help him. So your flesh can't help him. But your spirit man could agree, well, I'm not against it. But your spirit man wants Jesus to do it, because that's the way the spiritual order works. Jesus does it all. Otherwise, I might do it and regret it or resent it or wish people would notice and give me credit. But thanks be unto God, that's not the spirit. The Spirit doesn't put any burden on me, because the Spirit of Christ in me wants to do whatever's good. So he's building that character in me, or at least I want to do it. I want to be in church. I want to be with the brethren. I want to love God. I want to love my neighbor. Okay, so wanting is a huge, even to me, a great victory. Wanting, because when I was in the flesh, I didn't want to. I never wanted to do it. I might have done it, but I didn't want to. Certainly not from the heart. But a legalist does it anyway out of duty and wants credit. That's what they want, credit. Credit where credit is due. When you're good, you don't really want to just be good for no reason. You want to be good for notice, reward. Did you know that? You can lie to yourself all you want. No, I just did it out of the goodness of my heart. No, you didn't. You wanted some kind of recognition by God, if not by man. God, did you see it? Extra jewel in the crown? Extra. One more ruffle in my dress on the great day of the wedding. But you know, as a true Christian, the left hand doesn't even notice what the right hand is doing. You don't pay attention. You're so in love with Jesus, looking at Jesus, that you find yourself doing stuff and you didn't even know you did it. Or you didn't care. You don't want the credit. It's like, no, I didn't do it for a reason. I just did it because I trusted Jesus. Jim, that's who you are. That's what we do. That's what we do. Oh, okay. And then I did it, and I don't need a reward because I already have Jesus. If with Jesus, I get everything, so I don't need a reward. I already have everything. How can I lose when I've already won? So this is a big teaching on inner character and where it comes from. Doesn't come from you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, that is in your physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who is loving me continually and ever giving himself up for me. And ever giving himself up. So if it's no longer I that live, the old Jim, the old Adam, the old man, but it's a new man, it's actually Christ living in me. He used to live for me when he died on the cross. That was for me. But now he's actually living in me, really, really, really changing me, but on the inside, which no one can see. But that inside is so important, because that fruit will come after I want to do it. I'll be able to do it, because that want to didn't come from me. If it was my want to, I might change my mind. But if it was Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, in me to will, if he wanted to do it, then he'll be able to do it, because he's in me to will and to do. If I want to do it, I will do it. That is, unless it's my want, not his want. If I want to do it because the Holy Spirit and I are one, and I want to do whatever pleases him, well, then we'll do what he wants, which is what I want. I want what he wants. I want what my Father wants. Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. That's strong. That's the Spirit of the Holy One. That's the Holy Spirit. So now, as a Christian, I actually want to. Now, are you aware of that? You don't have to feel that. You don't have to understand that. You want to do the will of God. Understanding it is not important. Well, I don't see why I have to do it. Well, that's not important. Well, I don't think I want to. Well, it's not important what you think. You want to. I don't want to. I don't want to go to church today. Yes, you do. How come? You're the pastor. Oh, yeah, that's right. You want to get paid, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Want to get paid. So, as a Christian, you don't do it because you get paid. You do it because you want what he wants. Why? Because he works that in you. Now, I know what I'm saying isn't always your experience, but that's why I'm saying it. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who died for me, who loves me, who continually is constantly working through me. That's him, and I believe that's me. He is causing me to believe that that's him. So, beholding him, I'm changed. Changed. Christian 6. Christian holiness is a matter of inner character before it's a matter of outer behavior. Christian holiness is a matter of inner character before it's a matter of outer behavior or works. 7. The Holy Spirit works Jesus' nature, inner character, within my soul before he works Jesus' nature, external works, in my outer life. 8. If Jesus were not alive now, having risen from the dead and having ascended into heaven, in order to sit at the right hand of dominion and power, he could not be working any changes in my character and life through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So if he were dead, he couldn't be doing that, but he's alive. So what's he doing up in heaven? He's actually living your life, or living his life through you, inside before outside, in your heart first, perfectly, then in your soul, then in your body, or in your behavior. Wow. That's how you raise children. First in their heart to trust Jesus, and then in their soul to be changed or altered by recognizing who Christ is in them. Most pastors do not believe that or do anything about that. And therefore, they're not going to get any outer works. The best they're going to get is legalism. The worst they're going to get is license. Which is, what's the point of being born again if you just fall back into those two? Because that's just man again doing it. It won't be perfect, because anything that man does is imperfect in an uncertain world. You don't even know enough to do what's perfect. But anyway, you can't. Only Jesus can work his perfect will through you. Only Jesus has the capacity and the power to affect your change. I'll tell you what, it's easy to believe for somebody else's healing if you've first been healed. It's easy to believe someone else could change if you first were changed. So his first work is not in somebody else through you, but it's to you. And then after he changes you, it's easy to believe other people could be changed. If you're not born again, it's hard to convince somebody else to be born again. I mean, you certainly can talk to people and say, hey, you know, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Well, not really. Will I look like you when I'm done? And so the only reason you would share is if it was you had experienced it first and it was exciting. And you said to someone, hey, I'm in love with Jesus. I love him with all my heart and soul and strength. I was talking to a young man yesterday, and I said that to him. He said, that's what I want. It's a young man, just graduated from college. Young, and he's ambitious. He's from Mexico, and he wants to go and witness to his own family and his own people. He already has been. But we might take a trip next summer, we're talking about it, to Cuernavaca. But if we did, that'd be exciting, because his family is listening, all Catholic, and he's teaching them another way, not by works, but by faith. Mom, no, that's not the way we do it. We don't believe in that. This is what we believe. And they're all listening to him. He has a big family. So the whole family is listening to him, even his older brother. So that's good. So a lot of their families are pretty big. And so Cuernavaca, here we come. Because they're listening to our tapes, and he translates them into Spanish, and so they can understand them. Yeah, I'm sure he improves my voice and my appearance. But he actually takes pictures when we meet. He has a camera set up, and then I give the teaching, and then he translates it and shows the pictures and tells him what I said. So that's the way to do it. Because his parents, many Mexican families, many families in South America still have witchcraft all over the place, mixed in with their Catholicism. So we teach a different way. We teach that it isn't up to you in any way. It's up to Jesus. It's up to God. This is all God. This is not us. Nine, character change takes place. Not when I'm looking at myself, but when I'm beholding him in all his glory. It's amazing. How can my change take place by not looking at me? How can I change if I'm not looking at me? Because I'm looking at the perfect model and I'm being conformed to his image and likeness. I don't change by looking at myself changing. I change by looking at him that doesn't change because he's perfect. How can you change perfect? Perfect can't change because it's perfect. It's complete, it's full, it's beautiful. It can't be added to or subtracted from. So if Jesus is perfect, that's enough to get me spiritually born again. Now it's enough to get my soul changed. And then that's enough to get my body or my life completely altered. Then I'd be ready for heaven because I'd be just like Jesus. And when I come down the aisle as part of his spotless bride, all the angels will gasp, "Ah, she's beautiful. That'll be me. I'll look really good." Of course, I've never been a bride, but I'm sure I'll be a good one. I'll be pure, spotless. Why? Because that's Jesus doing that. The thing that makes the bride beautiful is the bridegroom. She's thinking on him. She's looking to him. Her eyes are fixed on him. As she's coming down the aisle, she's not looking at the crowd. She's looking at him. Her eyes are fixed on him. The bride and the bridegroom's eyes are looking at each other. I hope the bridegroom isn't looking at the father or at the audience or even his own parents. His eyes should be fixed on the bride herself, as hers are on him. And that's how they look alike. People will even say that. Oh, she's perfect for him. He's perfect for her. Amen. I mean, on the wedding day, at least, the bride and bridegroom look lovely. At least on that day. 10. Behold Jesus as the holy example, merciful Savior, and powerful Lord. Behold Jesus as the holy example, the merciful Savior and powerful Lord. 11. By beholding him in this threefold way, holy, merciful, and powerful, every day in my meditation, happiness and worship. Meditation, happiness, and worship. I experience a wonderful change in my own inner character. So that's how you get character. People don't talk about character anymore. It used to be in school that character was more important than knowledge. That if you didn't have moral character, you couldn't learn. They used to have us bend over if we went to the principal's office and spank us. And so if you got sent to the office It wasn't to carry a slip somewhere. It was to get a spanking. And because they believed in character. So when I went to high school, they definitely believed in what they called physical touching, but with a paddle. And it was good. It was good. You didn't want to go to the office. When you went to the office, you knew it wasn't a good idea. But today, they don't develop character. The kids today are wild. They're not behaved. They're not taught anything. We have no discipline in our school. If I were a parent, I wouldn't even send my kids to public school. We didn't. Did we? No, we sent them all to a private school, and then we homeschooled. Why? Because the one thing you can do in your homeschool is give them character. You can't give them character, even in a private school sometimes. But the private schools might, and ours, I don't know if they paddled. I don't think they did. They did? They stopped it, yeah, because they wanted to get accredited. When you seek the pleasure of man, you lose the pleasure of God. God says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So it's good not to be spoiled. I'm glad I wasn't spoiled. I'm glad when I was raised, I wasn't spoiled. I hope Matthew gets good spankings. Yeah. Because you don't want to spoil him. You want him to learn obedience through what he suffers. That's how you learn. Anyway, I believe in God's way. 11:12. Beholding him, we are changed into his likeness. Beholding him, we are changed into his likeness and image from glory to glory. Isn't that neat? That's how you change. You're not changed by changing. There's nothing in God's economy that said, as you grow up, you'll change. That's not true. The way you change is by discipline, meditation, inner character development. That's what discipleship is all about. The first change, 13, in my character comes when I behold the glory of his holiness. That's the first change. And these changes are in order. So this is the first change. This convicts me of sin. When I see Jesus' holiness, I see my sin. I can't help but notice when I see how right he is, how wrong I am. I just can't help notice. He always pleases his Father. I just can't help noticing that I don't. So that's the first change that takes place is I notice his holiness exposes my unholiness. That's the first thing I notice. I'm convicted of sin. How far I am fallen short of his glory day after day. From glory to glory, he's changing me. But I don't want to fall short of his glory. In other words, my purpose is not to get my glory. That's sinful. But to give him glory, that's my true purpose. That's why I was created. I was created to live for his glory. After all, he lives to give me his glory. So I should give him glory. So he can give me glory. So I can give him glory. So he can give me glory. Did you know the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit do that? They all glorify, magnify, and bless one another. Father, I love you. I love you too, Son. And Holy Spirit, you too. Yeah, me too. And they're all in love. Isn't that a great family? I'm not bragging, but our family's like that. It's neat to be in our family. Love you, Dave. I love you too, Dad. I love you, Margaret. Love you, Daddy. I love you, you know. And that's great. There's no rule. They just do it. And they hug you. We were at a party yesterday in Dallas, and Margaret was there because she lives there. And she just, first when I walked in, I saw her and come and give a big hug, And then when she's ready to leave, talking to all her friends, she comes over and gives me a big hug. That's good. It's great. She could have just walked out. It'd been okay. Already gave her a hug. But it's a family. She's not embarrassed. She's not ashamed. That's my dad. I love him. It's powerful. It's powerful. The second change, 14, in my character. So that's the first change. His holiness produces me seeing my sin. That neat. That's how you get character. You get character by realizing you don't have any. You see His holiness, you realize you don't have any. That's what produces character. You got to see the bad news in order to see the good news. Or you see the good news in order to see the bad news. I mean, when you see His holiness, you realize, gee, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. Now, the second change comes when I behold the glory of His mercy. That even though He's holy and I'm not, He's merciful to me. This convicts me of righteousness. Because His mercy is toward me who wasn't holy. I was sinful. But how my sins are covered by the blood of the Savior, and how I'm forgiven and made righteous by imputation day after day. So every day I see new sin because of His holiness, and then I get forgiven because of His righteousness and mercy and imputed righteousness. That's amazing. Every day. Do you see that? That could serve as a model for your human relationships, your family relationships. As children grow older and older, you change. Instead of just showing the holiness, you begin more and more to show the mercy and the power. We haven't gotten to that yet. The third change, 15, in my character comes when I behold the glory of His power. You see how His holiness has a change on me, His mercy has a change on me, and His power has a change on me. Now let's see what that change is. The power of God, the power of Jesus, convicts me of judgment. Now listen carefully. That because I have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus and made righteous by imputation through my faith in my personal Savior, therefore the ruler of this world is judged. And I'm not only free of the guilt of sin, but I'm also free of the power of sin. So His power empowers me to judge the devil or to escape the devil's influence on me, control of me. That's power. If the devil comes to me, I just hand him a stick of dynamite. Satan, before you say anything, just hold this stick, will you? I got to go over here to the drinking fountain. And as he's holding the stick, he blows up. It makes him so mad. You see, I have the power to blow him to smithereens. In other words, I don't have anything to do with him. He can't judge me anymore. Did you know that Jesus was already judged in my case, so the devil can't even talk to me? So I just hold this stick, would you? Thank you. And then I just walk away and boom, he blows up. It blows him away when I do that. He doesn't like it. Satan, I just noticed you're standing right there. I just want you to know something. Not only have I been convicted of sin, I've also been convicted of mercy. And so I've been forgiven because Jesus took my sin. Hold that stick. Thank you. And he's judged. Do you see how I condemned every weapon fashioned against me? The devil came to accuse me, but the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He can't accuse me. I use that every day to develop my inner character. Now, how does that work? I don't know. I don't do it. He does. I just behold him. As I behold him, I see his holiness. That convicts me of sin. I see his righteousness or his mercy. That convicts me that I've been forgiven. And then I see his power. which convicts me that the ruler of this world is judge, and he has nothing to say to me or do to me. He can't stop me. I'm able to love. I'm able to do that which is glorious in God's sight. I love it. Now, I haven't done anything. I just have the will to do it. I have the will to do it. I want to do it. Where am I? I'm on the last 15. I'm also free of the power of sin, not just the guilt of sin, which judgment pronounced against the devil strengthens my character, gives me boldness to want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, who's done so much for me. So now that I handed him the stick of dynamite and he's blown away, he's out of my road. You see, that dynamite was like a log jam in my path, but I just handed it to the devil, and boom, he's out of my path. Now I can just go ahead and love. He was going to try to stop me. I just blew him away. Here, hold that a second. Thank you. And I just go through the door. Do you see that? That is the power of God. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what discipleship is sin no longer has any power over me. Not only the guilt has been forgiven, but the power has been removed. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a sinner. Sin doesn't hold me anymore. Woohoo! And that makes the devil so mad. And I do that every day to him. Satan, you back again. Appreciate your persistence. Here, would you hold this? He may not be too smart, but he's persistent. But he's not very smart, because he tries to get me on the same sins all the time. And I have to tell him, oh yeah, the holiness of Jesus already convicted me of that, and the mercy of Jesus already forgave me for that. He already died for my sin. I'm forgiven. I'm pure. You can't touch me. Here, hold that. Thank you. Boom. He's gone. I have full authority over Satan. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You go, I don't want to touch that dynamite. Don't give me that. No, I don't want to hold it. So the devil is running from us. Do you all see that? Because I know who I am inside. I'm no longer convicted of sin, because when I'm convicted, I'm forgiven, and then when I'm forgiven, then it's actually removed. That's the power of Almighty God at work in me. 17. No, sorry. These are big ones. These three changes in my character all come about because I was meditating on God as my loving Father. I was meditating on the gospel of His salvation through grace by faith. And my personal repentance as a lost sinner, and my wonderful salvation, which I accepted by faith in His word of truth, that is the gospel. Because that meditation brought me such happiness, joy unspeakable, and full of glory, I could not contain my love to God for His gospel and for His gift of repentance and faith. So I entered His gates with thanksgiving. I went into His courts with praise. I continued on into His holy throne in the Holy of Holies to behold Him in His threefold glory and to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. This is how your character is developed. The more I read about Him every day in the Bible, the more I talk to Him every day, the more I confess my sin because of His holiness, the more I thank Him for His mercy, the more I experience His power, the more in love I am with Him, the more I become like Jesus. It had nothing to do with me. None of this was me. None of this was me. None of this was me. This was all Jesus. Jesus. His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy, His power. 18. Worshiping Him in His threefold holiness, holy, 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 relating to His threefold glory, convicted me of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I am changed in my inner character until I become like him. I am changed in my inner character until I become like him. 19. The main change of inner character is that I realize he is in me to will and to do of God's good pleasure. 20. Having the character of Jesus means submitting to his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thus, fearing him who is true, altogether right, setting aside my own will. Not my will, but thine be done. Yeah. Having the character of Jesus means submitting to his will. That's the main thing about character's will. Your will is broken. The main thing about character is not character. The main thing about character is submitting to his will, his holiness, his mercy, his power. That's the main thing. I submit to that. Remember, the sin is convicted by his holiness. My faith comes about through his mercy, and my judgment of the devil comes about through the power. So he shows me all of that. Did I do all that? Yeah. 21. Once I am committed to do his will, I mean, I want to. That is, once I'm willing to obey, before I actually do obey, there's a further work that takes place in my soul to empower my character development. The world doesn't teach any of this. School now teaches none of this. The only place you can learn that is in church. But most churches don't teach it either. And when they teach it, they don't teach it in a correct manner, because it usually comes out as legalism. Just behave yourself. None of this is legalism because you didn't do any of it. This is all done by Jesus. We don't believe in legalism, but we don't believe in license either. We don't believe you should just do your duty. We believe Jesus does his will, and I just submit to it. But we don't believe you should do licentiously. Since grace abounds, let's go and sin. We don't believe that either. So this is a bad church. Because you're not allowed to do what you want to do. You can't sin, and you can't be righteous. What can you do? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus does it all. This is a great church, because it's the only way that works. But the others don't work. The others have the appearance of will religion, but ours isn't will religion. They just submit to his will. He's the one willing. And then he changes my will. Once I'm committed to do his will, that is, once I'm willing to obey, before I actually do obey, there's a further work that takes place in my soul to empower my character development. 22. A strong will submits to God's truth in his word. I will to please him, which in turn renews my mind to see that God alone is true, and he loves me in truth. Now, this breaking of the will is what I'm all about. Breaking of the will is not breaking of the spirit. We're not breaking anybody's spirit. We're only breaking their will. We're not forcing behavior. We're not doing anything to make people be holy. We're just telling them who they are. And that breaks their will. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's who I am. I don't have any power to make anybody do anything. Besides, I'm too busy getting myself. I'm too busy dealing with myself. I don't even have time to deal with y'all. You got so many problems, I don't even want to deal with yours. I got enough of my own. I got enough of my own. I'll let David take care of that. Where's David? He can do that. He's a socialist. I call David a socialist because he cares about people, whereas I'm not. I'm cold. But David loves people. He likes to visit people and call them and be with them, spend time with them. I really don't like people that much. I want to get away from people. David, spare me. Help me. You're a socialist. You love people. He loves to socialize with people and go out with them. I just want to. Peggy's like me too. We just want to be with our own family. Fooey on y'all. We don't want to be with y'all. We don't like people. Get away. We're tired of people. But I do spend a lot of time with Jesus. And he makes me go with people. But otherwise, I might not do it. But he tells me, no, Jim, you love people. I know. I love them. I just don't want to be with them. Because I have my own little life, you know. And we got stuff to take care of ourselves. Y'all get Jesus. That's why I'm trying to get you to Jesus right away so you don't need me. You get his number. Nobody ever calls him. You got plenty of time. Jesus is just waiting there by the heavenly phone. Ah, I was hoping you'd call. No one has called this morning. You're the only one. So I'm on the line from about 5 to about 7:30. So I'm talking to him during that time. But you can have him after that. By the time to get up when you're in the car or something, he's free. A strong will submits to God, 22, to his truth and his word, the will to please him, which in turn renews my mind to see that God alone is true and he loves me in truth. 23, we're almost done. God's truth sets me free. And his love continues to transform me by the renewing of the mind, which stops all my confusion and double-mindedness. Same thing. So that my mind is clear and single. So, a strong will, a clear mind. Now, this is how you can tell your character is being developed. Do you have a strong will to do the will of God? And do you have a clear mind to always understand God is true? God loves you. And so I have a strong will and a clear mind. I want to do the will of God, and I'm always clear. You can't call me up and confuse me. No matter what, my mind is really clear. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm very clear. Do you know that one, Matthew? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Exactly. You do know it. You do know it. So, you see, you can't get beyond that. Nobody in this room can ever get beyond that. That's the simplest, clearest thing. You want a child with a clear mind? Teach him that. Jesus loves me. What could be clearer? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the only way you know. That's very clear. So I'm not confused. Nothing confuses me. Why? Because I know Jesus loves me. People may not. I don't care. I may not love them. I don't care about that either. I don't really care about anything other than this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I love that. I love that. And little kids can learn that at 2 or 3. And they can sing it. They got the whole gospel right there. That's very clear. So I have a clear mind. That, by the way, is the clearest thought in the world. There is no clear thought. You cannot get a clear thought. Buddha loves me. Nope, that's not clear. You can't get clearer than that. Of course, the Quran tells me to blow up Christians. No, That's not as clear. Nothing is as clear as Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's just so clear. I love it. But not only that, that's strong will and a clear mind. Number 24. Thus, a strong will submitted to the truth of God's word, and that's the only way that your will comes strong, so you have to believe the word is true. God is a loving father, not an angry judge. Leads me to a clear mind. And what thought is clearer than the knowledge of his unconditional love? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so, with a strong will and a clear mind, both based on a pure faith, strong will, clear mind, both based on a pure faith in God and his gospel, which we meditate on night and day, making us happy and bringing us into real worship and spirit and truth, there's one last change in our character. This one is the one most Christians omit. Happy emotions. Strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. Strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. When you have this, you're at second base. Now you're ready to go on home. You're ready to finish the last four. Do you have a strong will? Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm clear on that. Exactly. And happy emotions. I'm always happy emotionally. Why? Because I can't lose. Nothing can stop Jesus from loving me. I got a strong will. Where did I get it? From the truth of the Bible. I'm free. The truth sets me free. So I'm happy all the time. And because I'm happy all the time, what's going to happen? I'm going to keep worshiping God. What's going to happen? I'm going to get clear direction. Because if I was mad or sad, I wouldn't get any direction at all. You're not going to hear God if you're unhappy. He dwells in the praises of his people. You're never going to know what he wants. God, what do you want me to do today? He won't tell you because you're mad or you're sad. He's looking for a people that are strong-willed. Yes, sir, ready to go. Clear mind. I understand, sir. Happy emotions. I want to do it. Happily. I'm ready. Let's go. That's great. That's how you're a doer of the word. If you're not like that, you won't do anything. You won't do anything. I'm going to get up tomorrow at 6 o'clock, but if your will is weak, at 7:30 you get up. Well, I slept in. Well, I had things to do. I had to eat breakfast and get off. So you forget about God. But if you had a strong will, you'd always do the will of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. You just go ahead and seek first. If you had a busy day, get up earlier. I have a busy day. I have a lot of busy days. I have a busy day tomorrow and about 50 different things to do. And because I have a busy day, I don't even know if I'll go to bed because it's going to be so busy. Because I got to do a lot, and so I got to spend time with Jesus. Got to spend time with God. So, did you know that if you spend a lot of time with Jesus, it makes the day go quicker, and he opens up paths and gives you wisdom and so on, and even all the hard things you have to do, you'll get them done somehow because of Jesus. That's a good Jesus. This is inner character development. Thus, 26, true worship in spirit and truth brings us to behold Jesus in all his glory, creates three holy changes in our character. A strong will produces a clear mind that produces happy emotions. 27. A strong will produces a clear mind that produces happy emotions. Strong, clear, happy. 26 was glory and character. True worship in spirit and truth brings us to behold Jesus in all his glory, creates in us three holy changes in our character: strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. I'll ask you that when we're all through today. What are the three things that tells you that you're growing in character? I have a strong will, I have a clear mind, and happy emotions. That's the answer. 28. The mind that stayed, the will sets the mind so that it's single, simple, clear, on thee, has perfect peace. Emotional happiness is not possible if the mind is confused and double-minded, or if the will is weak and vacillating. The actual scripture says something like this: perfect peace have all they whose mind is stayed on thee. So, if thee is God's word, and I have faith in thee, him, then I'll have a strong will, a clear mind, happy emotions that will produce a stable life. So there's the secret to your whole life. Pure faith creates a strong will, clear mind. Can't have a clear mind without a strong will. You can't have happy emotions without a clear mind. And you can't have a stable life unless you're happy emotionally. Show me someone that's emotionally unstable, I'll show you somebody who is confused because they don't have a strong will. You won't be confused if you have a strong will. You're only confused if you have no faith in Jesus. Faith produces strong will, clear mind, happy emotions, stable life. You want to raise children? You want to be a Christian witness? You got to have faith in Jesus. The mind that stayed on thee. Here's the mind, stayed on thee. The will stays the mind. So the will is more important than the mind, because otherwise the mind will be double-minded, but you can make it single-minded easily. So whenever I'm confused, I can always clarify it by a strong will. And I can always have a strong will because my faith is in Jesus' promise. And those promises make my faith pure, which makes my will strong, which makes my mind clear, which makes my emotions happy, which makes my life stable. Matthew, that's the secret. Your dad will teach you that later. Just right there on your hand. Pure faith, strong will, clear mind, happy emotions, stable life. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you see somebody whose life is unstable, don't help them. You can't help them. I'm going to say it again. You cannot help them. Why? Because their problem is not getting stable. Their problem is they're not emotionally happy, and that's because they're mentally confused, and that's because they're volitionally weak, vacillating, and that's because they have no faith in God. You say, well, they're a Christian. Yeah, I'm sure they're a Christian, but they've never been established. Their life is not built on strong promises, the truth that sets you free. When you hear the strong promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you, I've forgiven all your sins. When you have strong promises, you'll have a strong will, clear mind, happy emotions, stable life. Next one. Hence, 29, we see that character development does not take place by legalism. It happens by Bible study and meditation, which leads to happiness and what? Worship. Remember, happiness is first base. Worship is on the way to second. Character is the result of true worship in the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? The more you worship God in the Spirit, the more character you're going to have. So it's easy to get character. How do you get it? Worship God. Well, how do you get that? Well, be happy. Well, how do you get that? Well, meditate on what he's done. What? God, gospel, repentance, and faith. There it is. So it's simple. It's very simple. I know it's not simple because you don't think like this, but I'm trying to change your mind so you'll be clear. Because this is what the Bible says. And it's laid out in order. And if you change the order, if you try to go from first base to third base, it won't work. You'll have to run the pitcher down. You got to follow the base just the way it's set up. That's the rules. That's the way it works. So start with God. He's a loving Father, not an angry judge. Start with the gospel. The gospel is not the law. It's promises, not commands. Then repentance. Repentance means don't think what you think. Think what he tells you. Follow the word. And that'll produce faith because the word, I repent of the commands, obedience, me doing the work to having faith in Jesus' finished work. Perfect. And that'll produce faith. And when I have faith in his promises, then I'll meditate, then I'll be happy, then I'll worship God, then I'll have inner character, strong will, clear mind, happy emotions, stable life. It's powerful. See how simple this is. To me, this is fun. But it's a description, not only of the Bible, but of my own life. This is actually how it took place. I certainly didn't go for legalism first. Legalism would be hit the ball and run to third base. You can't run to third base. You have to go to first base. I'd rather be happy before I'm going to be legalistic. Do you know legalistic people are unhappy people? If you're legalistic, you know, trying to do your duty, trying to do what's right, and you're not doing it from a full heart, you're not doing it because your soul is renewed, you're not doing it because you have a strong will, clear mind, and happy emotions, it's not going to be stable. So just do it the way God set it up. 30. Character is the result of true worship in the Spirit. Character begins with the fear of God and ends with the love of God. You have to believe he is the fear of God, and you have to believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where you get character. Diligently seek God. You have to believe he is, and then you have to believe that he'll reward the good and the bad, but especially those that follow this pattern. He'll give you a reward. The reward is not heaven. The reward is not heaven. The reward is that the promise that he made, he will keep it and fulfill it and finish it. It's faith through suffering. That suffering is good. Whenever God tells you something, it's always going to die before it resurrects. If God gives you a vision, it'll always die before it finishes. Every single time. We'll get to that later. Right now, here's just a strong will, clear mind, and happy emotions. Those who worship God, 31, and fear him and love him are changed into his likeness by beholding him in his threefold glory, convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The change of character, 32, that is holiness within our soul, is a strong will, clear mind, and happy emotions. Strong, clear, happy. Last one. This inner character is nothing other than the character of Jesus himself living in us by the Holy Spirit, who shows us his glory in the Holy of Holies and transforms us day by day so that we want to do his will with a clear mind and happy emotions, after which we will be able to do it. To God be the glory. Well, you know, obviously these teachings on tape are too short and simple to, that's why we have all those scriptures there. The scriptures are really much more important than what I just said. But if you don't read them and all you have is this teaching, it won't mean anything. You actually have to meditate on these scriptures, which we've gathered together over the years. They're very powerful. So if you reread all your answers and reread those scriptures, now I'm not commanding you to do it. I'm just simply saying every lesson, we never go over the scriptures. It's kind of a hidden treasure. But they're more powerful than what's said, because the scriptures are God's word. And they're based, everything we said is based on those scriptures. So it's a beautiful Bible study. You could take one of these and study it for a week. It'd be a great Bible study just to take one of these and then read the scriptures. Just read them. And then reread your answers. Reread. College kids take this and they have the answers in the back of the book, and they have the questions in the front where they fill in the blanks. But the best is read through the answers and then go and read the questions without the answers to see if you can remember. And then when you get it so that you got it perfectly memorized, read all the scriptures. And you study those, and you can teach. So that's why these are called discipleship, because they have to do with the 12 steps of discipleship. All right, any questions? I knew there wouldn't be any. Peg, that was a good teaching. I wouldn't say it that way, but that's true. I would reserve love for outward glory. I would say it more has to do with the will than with love. Faith active in love. I would say you have to die before you love. This character is getting rid of you, yourself. No, I don't know why. I don't see the confusion. When you see that he is the perfect son and you're not, that's where you see your sin. He loves us, loves them. Whatever he does, there's no way that your flesh will do that. And even when you're born again, you still haven't done that in your soul. So you're going to see his holiness. I don't know if you're seeing his love or not. All I know is when you see him, you realize, I'm not like that. And you do that every day. Every day you realize he doesn't get discouraged, you do. He doesn't read the Bible and get cold, you do. I mean, every day you see your sin when you see his holiness. He doesn't get tired of meeting together with the brothers and sisters, you do, or whatever. So, I don't know if you want to say it's his love, of course it is, but we settle that in God, gospel, repentance, and faith. We already know he loves us unconditionally. So, yeah, everything is his love. So I'm not sure.
No, that's good.
I don't see how that is. You just see the older brother doing it right, and you're convicted. I can't do it that way. I wished I could. So you see your sin. When you see his goodness, you don't see yours. When you see his beauty, you don't see yours. When you see how great he is, you don't see how great you are. I mean, it kills your old flesh, not in your spirit, but in your soul. Of course, that is the love of God working out. But it's not your love. It's not your love. It's you're convicted. And then he's showing you your mercy. Thank you. And then you're seeing his power. And you realize, I can conquer the devil. I wouldn't characterize that in terms of love, even though it is. I would say love is what people see out there. But of course, it's all based on his love in the beginning. All right. God is good. God is great.